Last Sunday afternoon, I read this gospel reading and began preparations for this sermon. And one phrase especially jumped out at me. The words of John the Baptist speaking to Jesus, "Do you come to me?" Spoiler alert, today's sermon is going to be about Jesus coming to us. Jesus comes to us. Last Sunday, we observed the Epiphany with the story of the Magi following the star to find Jesus, to seek Jesus in the little town of Bethlehem. The theme of worship last Sunday was all about seeking Jesus. Seek the Lord and find him was the theme. In that sermon, I said that as disciples, we seek Jesus wherever Jesus is. And as the sermon progressed, I basically said, Jesus is everywhere and we seek Jesus. But today's a reversal of that theme. Today, the theme is God is seeking us. God seeks us wherever we are. So where are you in your spiritual journey as a believer, as a disciple of Jesus? Are you in a wilderness of sorts? Are you a prophet like John the Baptist? Are you on the front lines of ministry, helping to get people and encourage people to become baptized in Christ? Are you working in the background of the church, of discipleship? Are you struggling to understand the scripture and the meaning of the scripture for our day and for our lives? Are you struggling to understand life itself? Sometimes we need to pause our seeking and we need to open our hearts and let God come to us. It might sound a bit strange, but sometimes we need to let go and stop looking, stop seeking. Several years ago, there was a special congregational meeting in a congregation I served. To be honest, I have forgotten the actual purpose of the meeting, but I do remember that it was about a difficult decision we were making. And I also remember that I felt very strongly about that decision, and I really, really wanted a specific outcome. I was passionate about it. I remember feeling that the congregation was going to make the wrong decision, and I was upset about that, and I was trying to turn it around and talk to people and trying to make it happen. At one point during that congregational meeting, I stood up, and I can clearly remember sounding like a bumbling idiot. So I silenced myself. I decided at that point to let it go. Stop talking. Said another word. I decided to stop trying to make my outcome happen. I let it go. Not another word. When it came time for the congregation to vote, the result was overwhelming, and it was what I had wanted all along. Now, after worship, I was standing alone outside the sanctuary, and I looked through the glass doors. There was a group of people standing back there talking. In my profession, we call them parking lot meetings. And behind me, there was another group in the fellowship hall talking. And I stood there alone between them, and I had a spiritual experience. I heard the voice of God. Now, it wasn't verbal, it wasn't out loud, but somehow, in my heart and my mind, God spoke to me. And what I heard was this: that was me. And all of a sudden, behind me, over my right shoulder, I saw a white dove, our symbol of the Holy Spirit. And as the dove came down on Jesus at baptism, it didn't light on me, but. And I was in the church building, so there was not an actual physical dove, but I saw in quotes, a dove. And I heard God, again, heard in quotes. That was me. It was a beautiful spiritual experience. And I often remember that. Every time I need to let go, I remember that experience. This reminds me of one of my favorite preaching stories. You've probably heard it. A guy falls off a cliff and he grabs onto a branch of a tree and he calls out for help. And there's no answer. Keeps calling. And all of a sudden the heavens open up and "This is God" comes from the heavens. And the man begs God for help. And God says, "Let go of the branch." The man looks up and cries out, "Is there anybody else up there?" People, there isn't anybody else up there. It's God who opens the heaven and comes down to save us. God is God, and we are the children of God. We are God's beloved. Now, this might sound like giving up, but it's not. I am personally not a fan of giving up. We always have our part to do. One of my favorite proverbs is a Danish proverb, and I repeat it often. Pray in the storm, but keep on rowing. Jesus let go at his baptism. He got wet, and by the grace of God, that gave him the strength to do the work that he was called to do. We must pray. We have our part to play, though. We have praying to do, but we also have rowing to do. And so Jesus, submitting to God at his baptism, God came down with words. And God came down with divine energy of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. "This is my child. This is my beloved." But after his baptism, Jesus began his ministry. Baptism is the beginning of doing God's will. And for us, it's the same. Our baptism is the starting point, is the beginning for us to become disciples. And God gives us the strength and the direction at our baptism. After that congregational meeting where I finally let go, I didn't resign my calling. I didn't stop doing my work. God came to me and changed me and moved me forward. Letting go isn't giving up. Letting go is a moment to stop and listen to God. Letting go is realizing that God is seeking us and embracing God who seeks us. And we really need moments like that where we can realize, I'm not in charge. I'm not in charge of life. God is God. I am not. And God seeks us passionately. God comes to us and God finds us. And when God finds us, God gives us gifts. God gives us gifts like grace, peace, comfort, forgiveness, healing, wisdom, and of course, love. Last Sunday, when I was making notes for my sermon, I had 4 in the list. And then on Monday, I had 6, and I eventually built it to 7. I would be very interested to hear your list. What are God's gifts in your life? What gifts does God give to you? I would be interested if you would make a list of 4 or 7 and share them with me. These are gifts that God is always giving to us. We receive God's gifts and then we marinate in them. We let our souls receive these gifts of grace and peace, comfort and forgiveness. We embrace the healing that God gives us. We accept the wisdom and we use that wisdom for our lives. And God gives us love and then we share that love with others. The truth is that God is always seeking us to give us these gifts. These and so many more. This is the Christian life. God sends the Spirit to us. The Spirit comes down, and the Spirit always finds us. And God in Christ always gives us what we need and more. Way back in 1981, I'd been preaching for a few years. And it was on a Sunday like today where we celebrated the baptism of our Lord. And I had a very long sermon. And as I was delivering it, I knew that I was losing the attention of the congregation. Not like now. You're paying attention, right? That worship service was at 8 o'clock. And in the back row was a woman that I'd never seen before. And at the greeting line after worship, she came through the line and with tearful sincerity said to me, "Thank you, Pastor. I needed that sermon today." I mean, I could hardly believe my ears. The next service was at 10:15 that morning, and I gave the same sermon, and I didn't like it any better. I didn't feel any better about it. I still have that sermon, and that feeling is pretty accurate. But even so, God's Holy Spirit came down and spoke to that woman's need in that time. And I hope others as well. And I'm grateful for that because God shows up. God shows up at unexpected times. If you like this sermon today, know this. This sermon isn't about me. In the words that I'm speaking, God is opening the heavens and coming to each of us according to our needs, as we are. We need God. God knows this. We need Jesus. Jesus comes to us. We need the Holy Spirit. A member of an Ohio church that I served, her name is Abby, gave me permission to quote what she recently wrote on a Facebook post. And I sent her a message yesterday letting her know that today I was quoting her. And this is what she wrote. "I think kissing my child's head when she's sleeping on my shoulders matters. I can't quite explain why, but it feels incredibly important and so full of love, my heart could burst. She might not be awake to notice my love right now, but I hope she feels the ripples of this kiss forever." Love ripples. This, people of God, is why we baptize infants and what baptism means for people of any age. God comes down at baptism and gives a heavenly kiss as Abby kissed her child. God gives us a heavenly kiss full of divine love. And receiving this love, there are love ripples from God that travel from baptism into our entire lives. What God does at baptism, matters. The heavenly kiss, the heavenly embrace, the heavenly hug from God in the moment of baptism really matters for us. The heavens were opened at the baptism of our Lord. The heavens were opened at the death of our Lord. The heavens were opened at the resurrection of our Lord. Heaven is opened at every baptism, and God comes down. Heaven is opened at this holy table. Heaven is opened in our music, in our singing. Heaven is opened when we pray. Heaven is opened now. This is the truth that the baptism of Jesus teaches us. God seeks us. God seeks us, and God finds us. And God gives us God's gifts. Heaven is opened, and God embraces us with divine love now and for all eternity. We now close our sermon with prayer, and as we pray, let's firmly believe that in this prayer the heavens are opened and God is coming down, and hear the voice of God saying to us, "You are my child. I love you." That's what God says to us. And these words we receive and become love ripples into our daily lives. God is saying, "You are my child. I love you." And so pray now for this church family. Pray that God's Holy Spirit will come down to us in these days of transition and hear the voice of God saying, "You are my child. I love you." Hear the voice of God saying to each individual of this church family and to the church itself, "You are my child. I love you." Pray now for your immediate family and for your extended family. Pray that God will come down to your family and bless you all with divine and holy love. And hear the voice of God saying to each one and to the family as a whole, "You are my child. I love you." Pray now for someone that you know that is hurting, someone who is in distress, someone who's lost in the wilderness, someone who really needs to hear these words from God. "You are my child. I love you." And pray now for yourself. For just a moment, let go of every concern and worry. Just let go. And hear this voice in your heart, your mind, and your soul. "You are my child. I love you." My dear friends, let's pray for all people in the whole world. I invite you, if you're comfortable, to take your hands and form a globe as if you're looking at the whole world and hear God saying to every person in the whole wide world, "You are my child. I love you. You are my child. I love you." To the whole world, God is speaking, "You are my child."